Greetings and welcome to another broadcast of Living Word Global, an outreach ministry of Living Word Christian Center Church in Reisterstown, Maryland. I'm Pastor Curtis, and once again, I'm glad to have you with us this morning. I'm glad that you took the time out of your morning to come and hear what thus says the Lord. We have a really good message for you this morning, coming straight from our pulpit, and we do believe that the Lord is going to bless you. He's going to lift you up and encourage you in this word. And I believe that for those who have not received the Lord at this time, that it's going to be the catalyst to push you right over the edge and cause you to come right into relationship with Christ. That's exactly what He wants from you. Do you realize that God has made every preparation to bring you into His family, to restore you to relationship with Him? We just ask that you would just come with us right now as we enter into the sanctuary to receive the Word of God. We pray that it will be a great blessing to you and that you'll pass it on to your friends and your family. Come on, go with me. Let's hear what thus says the Lord. There we go. Hallelujah. We're excited about a lot of things today. The presence of God is here. Yes. The presence of the Lord is up in here. I'm serious. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to get blessed. And even though I got to preach, I'm just asking the Lord to just rain a blessing on here. Right here. Right here in this spot. If y'all don't get wet, then you're in the wrong spot. If y'all don't get wet, you're in the wrong spot. So you better pray and ask Him to get your spot too. But I'm trying to get wet. I'm trying to get wet up here. I'm trying to get drenched in the power of God. Hallelujah. It's exciting. It's exciting. It really is. I was just dying for the Word of God. I was just dying to get in His presence and just to feel this surge. You know, I mean, I feel like the Hulk or somebody. I'm just going to flex and everything's going to tear up and fall apart, you know? I mean, I just feel empowered. I really do. I just feel empowered. It's like the anointing oil was seeping out of my pores or something, you know? I'm about ready to just do it like this and start flicking it on folk, you know, and letting them get blessed so they can run up out of here and go bless someone else, you know? You don't get blessed just to keep it to yourself. Do you know that? You don't get blessed to keep it to yourself. If you think you get blessed to keep it to yourself, you're all confused. It's good that you're here because I'm ready to tell you something. You don't get blessed to keep it to yourself. You get blessed so you can go out and pour it out on somebody else. So you go up and people be like, what's the matter with you? I'm just blessed. Hallelujah. Come here and let me hug you. You know, that's what's happened. That's what's up. You get blessed so other folk can get blessed. God pours out all the rain on you so you can be drenched and go and rub somebody. You know, I'm telling you, it isn't about just, oh, I just was all blessed. Oh, I went home and went to bed. Give me a break. I'm going out shopping when I get blessed. I'm going out so I can touch somebody. I just want to be in a mall. What's the matter with that guy? I don't know. I'm just blessed. Yeah, come here. Yeah, I'm serious. I know I sound silly, but I'm serious. Because the Lord, I don't even know if I want to preach this message now. Because if I preach this message, y'all be like, he's all blessed and all you want to get preach the hard word. Why the hard word always got to come when the brother's blessed? I don't know. It ain't my fault. Blame it on the Spirit of God. Don't blame it on me. I'm just the vessel. And I know a bunch of y'all saying, I just want to break it. Just break the vessel. Break me then, because the anointing will just flow and you'll get it anyway. Hallelujah. Well, I'm excited today. I'm blessed of the Lord. And just knowing that God has certainly filled my all in all. He hasn't left anything undone. You know that? He hasn't left anything undone. Not one thing. Not one thing. No, seriously. I see that look on your face. He has not left anything undone. Nothing. You're all looking at me like I had something undone. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm blessed to be in the presence of the Lord today. And I'm blessed to have all of you with me. And, you know, the Lord has been doing some great things in this ministry. A lot of folk don't realize, you know, the walls that have come down and, you know, all the things that God has been teaching us. And he's been teaching us individually and collectively. He's been doing a great work in us. He's been beginning to show us, you know, the direction in which he's taken us, and not just the direction, but he's mapped out the route, you know, and it looks like it's impossible sometimes. It really does. And we've actually had conversations about whether or not we're going to be equipped or prepared, you know, for this big date that's coming up, that July 4th date. You know, and honestly, just being real, you know, you have to look at that and think, well, do we need a plan B? Do we need a plan B, or you know, is God going to come through for us? And I think we're being more and more, we're being drawn to the idea that, yeah, God is coming through. Isn't he? I mean, come on, you got to hear it this, the way I'm seeing it. Because, I mean, every time I start feeling like I got this tinge of doubt, you know, all of a sudden something raises up inside of me. And I'm like, again, here I am. You know, I'm just ready. Take me away, Lord. Let's go. You know, if I'm standing there in the middle of an open room on July 4th and God pours in there like a flood, then it wouldn't surprise me. You know what I'm saying? Because he's made it clear that anything he said is going to be exactly how he said it, right? But, you know, you can get so excited and so built up and so encouraged and so full of God until you just end up, how do you say this without hurting some folks' feelings? You get so full of God until somehow you end up full of the devil. I know, that's the way I felt when I heard it too. you think you're just so full of God. You know, you got all this excitement going on. God has said so many things. He has told you so many. He's given you so many things. And all of a sudden, something inside of you goes into switch mode. And now all of a sudden, you're just so puffed up. You're so full of yourself that you and the devil have become best friends. I know folk don't like to hear that. But, you know, the scripture teaches us really well that we have to be so careful of our mindset. We have to be so careful of how we begin to think when God begins to bless. We all know he's going to bless, right? We know that. We know that. We wouldn't be sitting in here every week, a couple of times a week, praying and fasting and seeking his face and all, if we didn't know he was going to bless. You know, I mean, that really doesn't make a whole lot of sense if you don't believe he's going to bless. But we come and we do those things because we know he's going to bless. We know that. We don't have a doubt about that. Yeah, sometimes we kind of waver to one side or the other, but he always snatches us right back because he'll do something in the midst of our wavering that will say, wait a minute, that isn't the right way to think about it. But then all of a sudden, if we're not careful, while he's in the midst of pouring all the blessing, while he's in the midst of causing all these things to work together for your good, you know what all the scripture says, we all know. While he's in the middle of healing our bodies and healing our minds and, you know, encouraging us and building us up, we could begin to walk around with our heads up high and get so prideful that the Holy Spirit will do like them cars do in the movies when they're going fast in one direction and then they need to turn around and be like, and they spin in the middle of the street and go back the other direction. So Holy Spirit does that. And all of a sudden we're still walking. Got our pride look on. You know, can't nobody touch that. Like that song, can't touch that. We're walking like that. The Holy Spirit is headed back that way. We're still going. We haven't even noticed he's gone. You know, it can be like that. Let's take a look at some folk in scripture who've experienced life like that. They've experienced the blessing of God. They've experienced God, you know, giving them bountifully. And then something just snapped. Let's take a look at that. I think God just wants to prepare us, you know, for the things he's about to do. His promise is sure. It is. It's sure. And so if he said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. And this goes for everybody who's listening in, because God has said some things to you. He's made you some promises. And God wants you to know that his promise is sure, but he also wants you to know that there's a temptation to get proud, prideful about the things that he does until you think you're too good to be true. So let's look at the first scripture I'd like for you to look at with me. I'd like for you to look at Proverbs 18, verse 12. Proverbs 18, verse 12. Proverbs 18, verse 12. And if you could, get Proverbs 16, verse 17 through 19. Get that as well. But we're going to do 18, 12 first. Proverbs 18, 12. That sounds like a pretty good year, 18, 12. Wish I knew what was happening then. So Proverbs 18:12 says, before his downfall, a man's heart is proud or haughty, some translations say, but humility comes before honor. Before his downfall, a man's heart is proud or haughty, but humility comes before honor. You see, let's look at the other scripture first. I get so excited just talking about anything God says, even though it's kind of hard sometimes. But looking at chapter 16 and verse 17 through 19, and it says, and this is from the Amplified, and it says, the highway of the upright turns aside from evil. He who guards his way preserves his life. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Again, we see it. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Better it is to be a humble spirit with the meek and the poor than to divide the spoil of the proud. Better it is to be a humble spirit with the meek and poor than to divide the spoil with the proud. So what we're seeing here very, very simply is that, let's just call this pride won't break your fall. Pride won't break your fall. See, because you're going to fall. When pride becomes the source of your strength, when pride becomes the source of, you know, who you display yourself to be before mankind, when pride takes over that place that the Holy Spirit that God once held in your life, a fall is sure. A fall is sure. So pride comes before a fall. Now the word haughty, which is also translated proud, it's a primitive root word in the Hebrew. The word is gabah, which is to soar, that is to be lofty, or figuratively to be haughty, exalt, to be haughty, to be or make high or higher, lift up, mount up, be proud, raise up, great height upward. So you lift it up. You're exalting yourself above the one that exalted you. You're exalting yourself above the one who exalted you. You're highly lifted up within yourself. You know, it's a bad place to be, but it feels so good when you're there, doesn't it? Now, I know everybody's experienced it. Don't act like you haven't. We know you have. We've all experienced it before we came to the Lord, and probably after, because God will do something exciting in your life. He'll do something amazing in your life. He'll do something miraculous, and you'll forget for a moment that it was a gift. You'll forget for a moment, and you'll get all caught up in it. I remember when I felt like God had really done an amazing thing in me. Because I married a beautiful woman and she began to tell me that I was a handsome man. I remember that. I remember not thinking of myself so. But God began to move away those things that I had before my eyes, right? That caused me to see myself in this light where I didn't really think I was worth anything. And I began to believe the words that were coming from this beautiful woman that I'm married to. And I began to look in the mirror and I would say, there really is something to that. Now, I don't like to usually talk about myself like this, especially when I'm preaching, because I don't want folk to be thinking about me like that. But the fact of the matter is that I didn't think I was anything for a long time. And God began to, through the wife that he gave me, cause me to see a different image of myself. Now, I know that there was one point, and it didn't happen and last for long, but one point where I began to make the mirror my best friend. I'm serious, I did. I made the mirror my best friend. I love to be in the mirror, you know, trimming my beard, and, you know, and I really wanted to know what to do to get the dark lines from under my eyes. You know, I didn't want to have wrinkles unless they were smile wrinkles. You know, I got to have smile wrinkles because I'm a smiling brother. You see what I'm saying? It's so easy. Without even wanting to do it, without even really trying to do it, you can get so caught up. Now, that's just a simple illustration, but I'm sure we can think of other things. I'm sure we could talk about other areas where we've allowed ourselves to get puffed up. But see, God has a way of bringing you down. He'll have a way of bringing you down. I'm sure glad that he didn't have to bring me down. Because I don't want to have to wear a mask, you know. I don't want to have something destroy the face that he's given me because I'm so caught up in it. You know, I don't want any of that to happen. So it's better to give God praise in the place that you find yourself when you feel that something has changed rather than pat yourself on the back and think, well, you know, yeah, I was meant to be this way. It's a gift. You got to remember that anything you receive from God is a gift. It's a gift. And if you get a gift from somebody, the best thing that you can do is remember where the gift came from. You know, can you just give God a praise? Can you say amen to God instead of taking it and giving it to yourself? You know, because the proud will be brought down. So pride won't break your fall. It won't break your fall. Be as proud as you want today. But tomorrow, when you start coming down, brother, you better know pride ain't going to be there to catch you. Pride won't break your fall. Now let's look at a couple of folk in scripture. Give you an idea of what it is God's talking about. See, because sometimes we can look at, listen to someone's testimony, and I just gave mine, and we can listen to someone's testimony, and we were like, you know, well, it ain't me. I never would do that. I wouldn't do that. Okay? But let's look at some scripture. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 20. In verse 13, chapter 20 of 2 Kings, verse 13. And let me just read. Let me know if you got that. Say amen. We good? And Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious oils and the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto Hezekiah, and said unto him, What said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, They come from a far country, even from Babylon. Let's keep reading. And he said, "What have they seen in thy house?" And Hezekiah answered, "All that is in my house have they seen, and there is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them." And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of Jehovah. Behold, the days come that all that is in thy house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing, shall be left, saith Jehovah." Now, it's obvious now that we can see what was going on with Hezekiah, the mighty king of Judah, who's excited about all the things that God has blessed him with. All his treasure, all his armor, all his gold, his silver, all of the things that God has given him through the spoils and so forth of his battles and whatever else has taken place. And here these foreigners come, and he was like a lot of us, so excited about what he has, so he takes them on the grand tour. He takes them on the grand tour. Have you ever gone on the grand tour in someone's new home, and they spent all this money and furnishings and all this money and, you know, audio equipment and televisions and all of these things, and they're taking you around and they're proudly showing you all that they have. Just can't help it. "Look, we got this when we were in. Oh, we bought this when we were in. When we did that trip to..." Oh, yes, and this is my prized possession. That's kind of what it was like. He's taking these guys throughout his castle, throughout all of the rooms with all of the treasures and all of the artistic renderings and all of the things that he had accomplished in battle and so forth. And he was so proud of it. He took them through, showed them everything. Excuse me. Showed them everything. And then, as they were leaving, the prophet comes. That's what needs to happen after someone has a house showing, whatever they call that, open house. Then the prophet needs to show up. And come in and ask them, "Who were those people? And from where did they come? What have you shown them?" You know? Just challenge you with all of that. And I could just imagine the face on some folk be like, what do you mean? What do you mean? I just had an open house. I got a new house. And I took them from the garage to the back porch. I showed them everything. I'm just really proud of everything that we've accomplished for ourselves. You can't say it without adding that on to the back of it, right? I'm proud of what I accomplished for myself. Ah. Sounds like pride. It sounds a little bit like you're prideful. Can you imagine the look on Hezekiah's face when the prophet began to say, tell him the word of the Lord? Wait a minute. I just thought you came to visit. I thought you were coming to bless me. And now you're going to give me a word? Is it a good one? But it wasn't a good one, was it? Everything in your house that you just showed off, that your chest was so built up because of, everything in your house is about ready to take a trip to Babylon. They were just coming to check and see how much they needed to bring to carry it. He didn't say all that, but I can assume that that's what he meant. They came to check you out so that they could figure out, well, we need a box truck, Well, we're going to need a bunch of chariots and then a couple box trucks. Well, are we going to need an army, or are we just going to need a few folk to clean this guy out? That's what was happening. And when you have your open house and some strange folk come walking in through there, you know, and they're all happy for you, and they're congratulating you, and they're excited for you, and then they're taking note of all the TVs and where they are, all the stereos where they are. Where you put his keys when he come in? Oh, he comes right in the garage door and hangs it right next to the door. Wow. Oh, what kind of alarm system he got in this place? You know, and you're just so silly about this thing that you show him everything. And then that one day when you're out at work or hanging out, you may be on your 1600 trip. You know, you do that all the time because you're proud of what you achieve for yourself. So you need another vacation 6 times a year. And while you're on your 1600 vacation, going somewhere exotic so you can lay on the beach and in the white sand and keep your toes through the sand. And your visitors that came to your housewarming, or whatever you call it, they came back with their box trucks. Guess what? All your stuff in your house that you puffed up, showed off to everybody is on its way to Babylon. Everything that you've achieved for yourself. Everything that you worked so hard all by yourself for all these years without the assistance of God is on its way to Babylon. See ya. And I know, you're thinking, well, my insurance will cover that. But don't you know that the pride don't take time to get insurance? Do you know that? You know the pride don't take time to get insurance? The proud, I'm sorry, I'm saying that wrong, amen. The proud don't take time for insurance. So everything's gone, went bye-byes, and here you are. Come on, with sand still between your toes and don't have nowhere to rest your body. You know, I like that commercial when the people come home from vacation and they both come in and they fall face first on their bed. And you come in looking for your bed and fall face first on the floor. Your Afghan rug isn't even there. Just you and the hardwood. It's still shiny. Except for the few scuffs for when they dragged your bed out. Telling you, pride goes before a fall. That's just one example. There's so many, I couldn't even take enough notes. There's so many. And I think that when God takes the time to show us so many examples, he really wants us to get this. You know, and I'm being a little silly about it because I just want you to kind of get a grip on what I'm saying. I don't want it to be so hard that it cuts you, you know. I don't want to sound like I'm swinging an axe. But listen, let's look at, I forgot to put the scripture down there. Oh, boy. How did I do that? Huh. I actually wrote it, but I didn't write down where the passage is from. Oh, my goodness. Well, let me just read it for you. I'm sorry, I forgot to write down the information for this. Let's look at Uzziah. Uzziah is another character. And it says this, in starting at verse 16, whichever chapter that was. Sorry. It says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up, and his destruction, or lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. Bodybuilder priests back in them days. That's deep. And they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the son of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. So he became leprous because he wanted to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Now, you know that we've been talking a lot about our ministry training and all of that kind of thing, because it's important for us to understand what God's calling us to do, you know, and the implication of the things that he's calling us to do. And a lot of people don't understand those things, and they think, well, I could do that too. But there's a certain anointing for the people of God who God has chosen to do these acts. Now, you can be king all you want. You can be the president of the United States or any other country for that matter. And if it isn't your calling, if it doesn't appertain to you, then you shouldn't be in there trying to do it. You know, you can't just go in and start calling yourself a priest unto God simply because you want to be a priest unto God. You can't just do that. God has to call you and has to anoint you and separate you unto himself in order that you might be that. And you have to be willing, a willing vessel for his use. Now, the king was anointed as king. That was his job. I can imagine how he could get a little restless sometimes. You know, I got this whole kingdom to take care of, and I haven't seen the prophet, and you know, the priests are just like, this is so distant sometimes. And I could just imagine him saying, well, you know, I'm a king. I ought to be able to go anywhere I want, do whatever I want to do. I ought to be able to do that. After all, I am the king. Excuse me. After all, I am the king. And it says that back in that 16th verse, it says, when he was strong. So apparently there was a time when he wasn't as strong as he is right now. Something changed. Something shifted in his life. You see, again, we look at the same thing. We're in this place right now. You know, everything isn't exactly where we want it right in the moment, but it's getting there. God said he's going to do it, and his word, his promise is sure. Thank you, by the way. His promise is sure. So his heart was lifted up when he was strong, and he began to think, well, I'm the king. I can do whatever I want. And he went into the place where he shouldn't be to do something that he wasn't anointed to do. And not only did he do that, but he resisted the one that was in charge. Now, we know that the scripture teaches us that we should never go against God's anointed, right? But we always look at it as the king is God's anointed, because David was the one saying that though he was anointed to be king, he was still under the authority of the king that was on the throne at that time. So he didn't want to do anything to upset what God had called him to do. He didn't want to, you know, go against God's anointed king. He was still on the throne. But we always look at it from that particular aspect, but we forget sometimes that it also applies to us. We don't have to be the king. We don't have to be the president. We don't have to be law enforcement. All we have to do is be what God's called us to be. If he called us just to be parents, then we have an active role in that. And it's something that God places a lot of stock in. That's your responsibility. For someone to come into your home and say, well, look, I'm going to parent your child today. Now you got to tell me, there's no way in the world you're going to just sit there and say, yeah, okay, fine. No. Because you're anointed, you're called, you're placed in that role. That's your place. The same with the church of God. You're anointed, you're called to be the minister of the house of God. And that's your place of responsibility. Why would you let somebody usurp your power and your authority in that place? Uzziah just didn't have it through his head who God really was and what he was about. So again, God has to take a king and bring him down. Do you know that at the end of this, Uzziah's son had to take over while Uzziah lived away from the people as a leper? Uzziah lost the power, lost the position, lost the authority, lost the anointing because he failed to realize his limitations. He began to be so prideful about who he was and what he had accomplished until he didn't give God the glory that he deserved anymore. He stepped into God's glory and into God's temple and decided that he wanted to be in charge. And wouldn't listen to the guys when they told him, no, that's not for you. You see? This is one message I've made a lot of blunders in, and I really want you guys to forgive me for that. Because in my excitement, I just forgot to put the scripture verses for all of these examples that I have here. But we also know about Naaman. You know about Naaman, right? When told to go and dunk himself 7 times in the Jordan, his response was, why would I have to do that? Why couldn't he say to do some great thing? Like, you know, I mean, all the rivers in Damascus are better. All the rivers in Damascus are better. They're much better. And he had to be rebuked by a couple of his servants. Now imagine a king having to be rebuked by his servants for his lofty attitude. You want to be healed, right? If he had said for you to go and do some great thing, would you not have done it? And he's, you know, I'm a little embarrassed now. I mean, here's these bad boys telling me, the boss, that I'm screwed up. And I have one choice. I can either listen to them and go and do what I know I need to do and get my blessing. Excuse me. I can either listen, go and do what I need to do to get my blessing, or I can go on a hideous leopard for the rest of my life. What do you think he did? Well, he didn't turn around and pat the boys on the back and say, yeah, you guys are right. But he sure did obey their words. And the scripture says that he went back and dunked himself 7 times in the Jordan. And then he went and showed himself to the priest. Or to the prophet, I'm sorry. And he was clean. Skin soft as a baby. You know how much work we go through to get our skin soft like that. He dunked in dirty water to do it. maybe there's something in that. But anyway, again, I apologize because I really forgot to write down the scripture verses. I got all the wording, but I forgot to write down the verses. The next one is Nebuchadnezzar. And I believe that's in Daniel, of course, but I don't know the exact verses. But Nebuchadnezzar, we know what he did, right? He looked out upon his kingdom. Here's your pride for you again. And the king spake and said, is this not great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Is this not Babylon? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and in the beast of the field, they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomever he will. In the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. That's enough I want to read from there. In the same hour. Aren't you so glad that we live in a time where God doesn't always effect judgment so quickly? You know, because pride is one of the biggest things that we can allow to come between us and God. The scripture teaches us that God hates the proud. He gives grace to the humble. He does. So when we talk about getting rid of this idea of pride, there's some things that we have to do in order to do that. There's some things that we really have to do in order to do that. Now, I don't want to leave you without telling you a little bit about that as well. If you will, look at 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 and 6. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 and 6. And it says, casting down imaginations and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Excuse me. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What does that mean? What that means is that the moment your heart begins to pound a little faster, the moment your mind begins to render thoughts saying, I've done it, I've accomplished it, I've made it happen, I did this for myself. When you begin to feel like that, when you begin to look at a matter as though you've accomplished something great, excuse me, you've done something great instead of God, that's when it's time to begin to take those imaginations. You know that's an imagination. It's your imagination. Like that song, it's just your imagination running away with you. You need to stop your imagination from running in its tracks right there and shut it down. Shut your imagination down and take your thoughts and bring them under subjection in that moment. You know, when you begin to feel like that, the first thing that you need to do is say, God, I know you did it. You get into praise mode. That's why I love it when we have worship and praise, because it gets you out of the other mode, whatever that mode is, the fleshly mode, and brings you into the mode of praise. When you're lifting up the one who really deserves the praise. You know, we're not here because of anything we did. No, we're not. So when you get in that place, you begin to shut it down. Shut down the imagination by turning your mind over to praise. Turning your mind over to praising the one who's worthy to be lifted up. Bringing your thoughts under obedience. Now, we know that Christ is the one that's the head. We know that he's the one that moves us in the direction where we move right. We know that it's not him that moves us when we move wrong. But it is him when we take the right choice, when we take the right path, when we're moving in the right direction, then Jesus Christ is the one that gets the glory for that. Of course he lifts us up. He says that he'll exalt us. He says that. He lifts us up, but it's not for us to be exalted within ourselves and puffed up. It's not for us to have gabah, to be haughty and proud. It's not for us to take that mindset and stand in that way. But it's rather we turn our praise back to him for all that he's done for us. And while we continue to do that, it'll keep us on the right track. It'll keep us moving in the right direction. It'll keep us from falling. I'm sorry about this sinus thing that's attacking me this evening. I don't really like that. Look with me, if you will, at Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 11. Oh, sorry. Psalm 37, verse 11. When you have it, say amen. Okay. But the meek in the end shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves and the abundance of peace. The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And turn right away to Matthew 5, 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. And that says very simply, blessed, happy, blissome, joyous, spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward condition, are the meek, the mild, patient, long-suffering, for they shall inherit the earth. They shall inherit the earth. You see, so the mild-mannered, the meek, the one that's not prideful, the one that doesn't turn the joy of the accomplishments that God has wrought on their behalf into their own personal success. That person, that meek person, that kind person, that patient person, that long-suffering person will inherit the earth. They'll have an inheritance. They'll have an inheritance. While everybody else is slipping down a slippery slope, they'll be kicked back somewhere, relaxing in the presence of God, as with the earth as their inheritance. The meek shall inherit the earth. Now, a couple more scriptures that I really want for you to see the difference between the mindset of somebody who really is in God's presence, walking in the Spirit. And I heard y'all talking about that earlier, walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. That's really what it's about. James 4, verse 6. But he gives us more and more grace, power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency in all others fully. That is why he says God sets himself against the proud and haughty, but gives grace continually to the lowly, those who are humble enough to receive it. God continually gives grace to the humble or lowly, those who are humble enough to receive it. And then we're going to look at Romans 12. I'm telling you, God covered this really well in the scriptures. This is not one of those lightweight subjects that doesn't really require a whole lot of study. It doesn't require paying attention to. This is one of those subjects that we, as we continue to trust God to bring His will to pass in our lives, we need to understand this. We really need to understand this. So we're looking at Romans, right? Romans 12, verse 16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, snobbish, high-minded, exclusive, but readily adjust yourself to people, things, and give yourself to humble tasks. Never ever overestimate yourself or be wise in your own conceits. Never overestimate yourself or be wise in your own conceits. Look at my kingdom, which I built all by myself for my majesty. Wise in your own conceits. Haughty. High-minded. Exclusive. Do you know anyone like that? Let them know. Pride. Pride doesn't stop your fall. It won't break your fall. It won't. I'm going to read one more scripture. You don't have to turn to it. I'm going to read one more scripture for you that I think will sum this whole thing up. I'm going to look at 1 Peter 5, 7 through 7. 1 Peter 5, 7 through 7. I mean, 5, 7 through 7. I said that right, I guess. Likewise, you who are younger and less and of a lesser rank, be subject to the elders, the ministers, and spiritual guides of the church. Give them due respect and yielding to their counsel. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility as the garb of a servant, so that its covering cannot possibly be stripped from you. With freedom from pride and arrogance towards one another. For God sets himself against the proud, the insolent, the overbearing, the disdain, the presumptuous, the boastful. And he opposes, frustrates, and defeats them, but gives grace, favor, and blessing to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that in due time, he may exalt you. I don't like preaching hard words, but I think that many of us need to hear it. And I believe that God has a reason for why he wants it to be preached, and that he's going to be ready. He's going to stand ready to bless all that would humble themselves, even now, before God, saying, Lord, I know that's me. I know I've been prideful. I know that since you blessed me, I've allowed for my head to get too big for my hat. And God, right now, after hearing the word, I feel like if I could just repent, if I could just humble myself right now and repent, I know that your word says that you'll forgive me and that you'll cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And so, God, I really right now want to humble myself for you because I want to continue to be used by you. And I realize that, as the preacher said, pride won't break my fall. So, God, I'm going to ask you to forgive me right now. If you're feeling like that, if you feel that like that's you, take a moment and set aside some time, you and God, and just allow for him to minister his forgiveness and his grace to you. The scripture makes it clear that he shows grace to the humble. If you're willing and able to humble yourself right now before God, let him have his way with you. And I guarantee you, I'll say the word of God guarantees you that the humble shall inherit the earth. Now, I want to talk to those who may not be saved. You've never trusted the Lord. You've never allowed for him to be your Lord and Savior. And you know that pride has been a big issue for you too. Maybe you've had so many good things happening in your life that you never thought that God was needed. You never thought that it was important enough to accept Christ as your Savior and Lord. But you know, tomorrow's not promised. Today is all you have. And you may have all the greatest things in the world, all the toys that everybody wants to own, and all the money in the bank, and all of the things that you ever wanted. You may be that one that has all of them. And God is saying to you right now, you might wake up tomorrow in a place that you've never imagined. And I have to tell you, that place would be hell, because you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The great thing is, the good news is, that the opportunity for you to do that while you're still alive exists. And when you accept him as your Lord and as your Savior, you're immediately transformed from that sinless person that you've always, I mean, sinful person that you've always been, to redeemed. You're saved by the grace of God through his son, Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a sacrifice for your sin. Right now, he's sitting on the right hand of his Father in heaven, making intercessions, praying for your safe return. All you have to do right now is pray and ask God to forgive you of your sin and to accept you as his child. And it's that simple. He'll do it. So I just ask you to take some time, get alone with God, pray and ask him to forgive you for your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness, and allow for you to be born again to the family of God.
Wow, what a timely word. We're so thankful for the word of God and for the provision that God has made for us in order that we might become friends and family of the Almighty. We just ask that if this message has been a blessing to you, that you would contact us at info@lwcc2010.org. That's info@lwcc2010.org. And also, you can call us toll free at 1-866-475-3167. 866-475-3167. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you.